What's really fascinating, when you just sit and read the Word of God, you miss a few things, but when you look at it in terms of what you're going to present, some things really pop out. So forgive me if I get a little dramatic. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn, we will kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Some time later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." Sounds familiar, huh? So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you could be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought their 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson! The Philistines are upon you!" But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes loose to a flame, close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You made me a fool. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you!" But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then went to Samson, "All this time you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with a pin. Again she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you!" He awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was just sick to death of it. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back at once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called to someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair. And so he began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He woke up from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Denise. I have preached on Samson before. Great sermon, if I could say so myself. Maybe just a tad down a little bit, Shane. I'm getting a little bit of feedback up here. It was how not to choose a spouse. Some of you may remember that. I want to share a couple of thoughts from 1 John chapter 2 for a moment, even though we didn't read it or look at it. 1 John 2:15 through 16 says, "Do not love the world." Part of that, "do not love the world," as this verse goes on and John says, that includes the lust of the eyes. And the writer John says that does not come from the Father, but from the world. So we are challenged not to love the world. I kind of look around on Sunday mornings and wondering who's here, and we see we have a lot of empty chairs today. And I know that there were some people supposed to be here for this sermon, and I wonder where they are. We are commanded and challenged to not love the world. That includes the lust of the eyes, and that's a biblical phrase, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And it means certainly sexual lust, but it also encompasses and includes the craving that we must have what we see. In other words, to live for self. Whatever I see, I want, I'm going to cater to myself. That becomes a very strict, strong, self-centered, self-pleasing life. Now today I want to focus primarily on the lust of the eyes that involves sexual lust. And you can't ignore that. That's part of this passage. But we need to address this matter of living for self. Samson lived his life by the lust of the eyes. If you're not familiar with this story, and that's why I wanted the entire passage to be read so that you could get the entire context. Samson was a judge and a leader in Israel. But his life serves as a role model for what the lust of the eyes will produce in the life of a person who refuses to deal with it. If you refuse to deal with the lust of the eyes, you lose everything. You become a loser. I hope I shared that strong enough. Do you want to be a loser? I hope not. Now quickly, before we really get into this theme, I want you to notice the downward spiral and progression in his life because of his living by the lust of the eyes. Chapter 14, and you get a chance to read it this afternoon, says he saw a woman. Underline that. He saw a woman. That woman in chapter 14 becomes his wife. That becomes the basis for when I preached on how not to choose a spouse. He rejects the counsel of his parents and he goes down and he sees this woman, and by his eyes, he says, "That's what I want. I want that woman." If you read the story, it is very tragic. Samson is busy doing something when he goes up to get his wife. Her father had already given her to a friend. And Samson goes up and he does some nasty things and kills some people. And the woman that was to be his wife, she is burnt to death. chapter 16, where we just read, reveals these words. One day Samson went to Gaza and he saw a prostitute. He saw a woman, and now it says he saw a prostitute. Okay, shrug your shoulders maybe. It was a one-night stand, but he followed his eyes and he lived by the lust of the eyes. Chapter 16, verse 4, sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. He sees this woman and, quote, falls in love and moves in with her, and he's living in this sexual relationship with her. Sex is a beautiful gift from God. Sex is not bad, sex is not taboo, but sex is reserved for marriage. Period. Delilah and his lust of the eyes would lead to terrible consequences, and he becomes a loser. And here's where we need to get into this subject, because Samson's life will teach us what we lose. What do we lose when we live by the lust of the eyes? What do we lose when we choose to live by the lust of the eyes, be it sexual lust or living strictly for self, that my life is only all about me? Not only will living by the lust of the eyes keep us from becoming mature followers of Jesus Christ, but we will reap the consequences of losing valuable, important Christ-like blessings. And here's what we lose. We lose our freedom in Jesus. Say, wait a minute, Pastor, you need to explain that. Lust leads to bondage. Lust leads to bondage. Be it sexual lust or living for self, it leads to bondage. Verse 6. Samson, in all these three cases, the woman that was his, be his wife who was burnt to death, the prostitute, and then now Delilah, who do we know so much about Delilah? All these women, he had this freedom to choose his way of life, and he chose to live by the lust of his eyes, and it led to bondage. Delilah, who represents the pleasure of lust, says it so well in verse 6. Listen to Delilah's words to Samson. So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." I let that grab you. Here's Delilah talking to Samson, and they're living in this illicit sexual relationship. And how should I say it? They're shacking up. Okay? And he has got this fantastic strength from God because he had a covenant with God. And Delilah says, "Tell me the secret of your strength so that you can be subdued and tied up." Can you imagine someone telling you that? "Tell me the secret of your power in Jesus Christ so that you can be placed in bondage." As soon as she said those words, Samson should have been running as fast as he could in the other direction. Lust was ready with all of its ropes of bondage. But living by the lust of the eyes will tie you up and subdue you. It will tie you up and subdue you. And that covers everything from sexual lust to living for self that involves substance abuse and addictions and you name it. All the stuff that goes on in there. When you live for self, and you live by the lust of your eyes, you're headed down this path of being subdued and tied up and placed into bondage. And let me quickly add, yes, lust will provide temporary pleasure. Let's be very honest, it will provide temporary pleasure, but lust is tantalizing and quite pleasurable. The lust of the eyes, though, always, always, always leads to bondage. Just look at Adam and Eve. And giving into the fruit and believing Satan's lies, it led to great bondage. And here's Samson and Delilah. The lust of the eyes, which is a reflection of his love for the world, not a love for the Lord. And that, in very simple terms, is nothing but sin. Sin always enslaves. Do I need to tell that to us at Evangelical Bible Believing Church? But I'm afraid that it's been so watered down and missed the fact that sin leads to being enslaved. But it is true. Lust, yes, is addicting. Addiction and enslavement to sin means that we lose our freedom in Jesus. And if you doubt that, and this is where my heart breaks, I've been a pastor for 44 years, and I've seen people that don't believe that, professing evangelical, Bible-believing Christians that don't believe that. See, if you doubt that, you are being seduced this very moment by the Delilahs in your life. The spirit of lust, the demonic spirit of lust, is lying to you. You lose your freedom in Jesus. The second thing that we lose honesty. Lust leads to lying. Verse 7, Samson slipped into this pattern of lying. And from verse 7 through 16, he does nothing but lie. Delilah said, tell me the secret. And he lies. And we get this story that we teach to our kids and our youth groups and so forth. But he does nothing but lying. And he came close to telling her the truth about his hair, that the Nazarite vow was with God, but he lies. He comes close. Yes, it's in my hair. It's all involved in my hair, but he lies. It's very interesting that in verses 15 and 16 that she begins to manipulate, she begins to flatter, and she nags him to tell her the truth. And he eventually does. We lose honesty and integrity when we live by the lust of the eyes. And when we live for self, we lose honesty and integrity. This may offend you. I hope it doesn't. I remember watching that TV and former President Bill Clinton looked and he pointed into the camera and he said, I've never had a relationship with that woman. I'm just using him as an example. Living for self and the lust of the eyes leads to lying. People enslaved to pornography or some affair, they're living in adultery, will slip into that lifestyle of lying, or they will use lies and manipulation to get the pleasure of those lustful eyes. The substance abusers are the greatest manipulators and liars I've ever met in my life. Now listen to Delilah's words. Verse 15. She says to Samson, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. How many guys have used that line with a girl in order to satisfy their lust? You don't love me. If you love me, you would say yes. How many women have used it to get what they want? Young men, if you love that girl, you will not pressure her for sex before marriage. Women, you will not use sex to get what you want. Men and women, the lust of the eyes is not motivated by love. It is motivated by self-seeking pleasure. And what happens is that we lose our integrity and we lose our honesty and we become enslaved and subdued by the lust of the eyes. A third thing we lose, and this may be one of the greatest issues, we lose the power of God. Lust leads to a powerless Christian life. Verse 19, we have this account of Samson. Samson lost all of his power, all of his God-given strength. And in verse 19, it is so pathetic. Picture this. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair and so began to subdue him and his strength left him. The lust of the eyes will lead us to a spiritual sleep and eventually defeat. Picture Samson, a real man, asleep in the lap of lust. See, the real issue with his hair was not the hair. It was the vow that he had with God that he would not cut his hair. That was God's honoring the vow. And Samson had this strength to accomplish God's purposes in Israel. And Samson lost all of his strength. We lose the power of God in our life when we choose to be subdued and enslaved by the lust of the eyes. And like Samson, yes, we do not necessarily lose our salvation, but we will lose the power of God in our life. Adam and Eve with the fruit in the garden, Satan will come along and he will lie and say that there will be no death. The lying spirit of lust will try to convince you that what you're doing will have no consequences and you can have God's blessing. Don't believe it. God will not bless sin. Show me a powerless Christian life, and every time I will be looking for a life subdued by the lust of the eyes. A fourth and very important thing we lose is that we lose our spiritual vision and leadership. We lose our spiritual vision and leadership. Lust leads to blindness. Verse 21, Samson literally lost his eyes and physical sight. Verse 21, then the Philistines, his enemy, seized him and gouged out his eyes. Isn't it ironic? It is ironic that Samson, living by what he saw, the lust of the eyes, loses his eyes. And he's placed in shackles, and he's bound to a grinding stone in prison, and he's treated like an ox or a donkey that is going to grind the grain and just go in circles, turning that grinding stone, that grinding mill, and he moves in circles because he's blind. He doesn't know where he's going. He's just going in circles. We lose our spiritual vision and the ability to serve the Lord when we choose to live by the lust of the eyes. And when you are spiritually blind, you cannot lead and you cannot serve God. And here's the most frightening part of this. Samson served the enemy. Don't miss that. He's going in circles as a donkey or an oxen, grinding the grain for the enemy. He's serving the enemy. Enslavement to the lust of the eyes leads to losing the vision of what God wants us to do through the life of the power that He has given us, and we lose all of that. Be it leadership in the church or leadership in our home or leadership in the community. And we have heard so many terrible stories over the years. The fifth and final thing I want to share from Samson's life of what we lose our life. Lust leads to death. Samson died as a result of living by the lust of the eyes. In verse 30, we find that he has renewed his vow with God, his strength comes back, but he dies as he cries out to the sovereign Lord to use him to help him slay the enemy that's in his life. And God shows Samson grace and mercy and restores his strength, and the Lord uses him in his death. But he died. We lose life when we become enslaved and subdued by the lust of the eyes. Lust destroys. Lust destroys. Please don't believe Satan's lies. Pornography destroys. Sexual sins destroy, adultery destroys, fornication destroys, homosexuality destroys, self-centered, self-seeking, life is all about me, life-pleasing destroys. Men, do you want to bring death into your marriage? Become subdued by pornography and adultery. You will bring death into your marriage. If you are sleeping in the lap of pornography or lust in any form, get ready to reap death. Men, when you feed on pornography, what you are telling your wife or your girlfriend is that she's not pretty enough, she's not shapely enough, she's not good enough, and you're bringing death into your family. And women, when you choose the path of the lust of the eyes, you are bringing death into your home and into your family life. What a legacy Samson has. Three women. The one that was to be his wife. The one that his parents said, don't marry her. But he refused. He says, I saw this woman. And she ends up being burnt to death. And then he gets involved with a prostitute, a woman that he sees. And then Delilah. He's a loser. He's a loser. Because of the lust of the eyes, have you become a loser? Losing your freedom in Jesus? Losing your honesty and integrity? Losing your power and strength from the Lord? Losing your spiritual vision and leadership for God's purpose in your life? Are you losing your life? It's being polluted by death. I implore you, like Samson, do not become a loser because of the lust of the eyes. If you're in bondage to lust today, of self-seeking, self-dominating kind of lifestyle, repent. Confess it as sin. And praise God through the grace of God and His goodness and the mercy and the power of His Holy Spirit. We can be made clean and we can be forgiven and we can be restored to a right relationship to Him. Our lives can be restored. Our families can be restored and we can find real freedom. And we can live honest lives and integrity lives and lives that are filled with power and strength. And that spiritual vision, that leadership can be renewed. And we will experience life. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Let's talk to God quietly for a moment. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak. After I pray, give George an opportunity to get to the back to greet you. Father, awesome, holy God, we've sung these songs about you today. Lord, we do not want to be Samson's. Forgive us. But thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love, that there is life and there is hope. As we leave this place today, let us breathe in your presence. In the name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen. Amen. Amen.